Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Big game five tonight, Miami.
Oh, I'm not even thinking about that. Oh, I'm sorry, game five?
Yeah, tonight.
I thought you meant in my panicked about the next series against the Bucks or Celtics. Like, can we shut down Tatum when it counts? Is Jaylen Brown? Like, I don't know, like, where do you put the defensive resources? To Brown or Tatum?
Wait.
Or if the Bucks advance, like, how do you slow Giannis? Because this Heat series is over.
Wait.
This is done.
Can I ask? So you're at what? Namaste here?
Is that, about
I
think the Heat. There's no panic whatsoever. Like, the panic meter does not really need to
It doesn't
be.
Register.
There's no panic here for the Heat.
And game six belongs to the Heat. This Eastern Conference semifinal also belongs to the Heat 4-2.
Oh, what could have been for the 76ers? Oh, that was a terrible way to lose last night. I'm sorry.
Was that edited? I don't remember saying any of that. Did you put together
now.
Words?
And that is not a deep fake. That is everything that happened on this show on Wednesday. Brighter days, my friend, brighter days. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff, by the way. That was us rubbing salt in the wound of a very confident Andrew Perloff from 2 days ago, who had to watch his 76ers get dusted last night.
All right, questions abound. All right. They got dusted last night. I think the Heat watch the show, and I provided bulletin board material. I think Pat Riley and Spoelstra sit around from 3 to 6 Eastern and either listen or watch the show, because there's no other explanation. How does a team who shoots like 7 for 100 from 3-point, all of a sudden they cannot miss? Scrub, like G League guys are lighting up the night, and the 76ers didn't show up. But I'm not mad, Maggie. I'm not mad at all.
Oh, you're not? Are you sad? Or are
I'm
you
not
disappointed?
Sad. Nope. I'm not mad at James Harden for not showing up. And you
wow.
know why? Because James Harden never shows up. James Harden is a regular season player. Anyone who expected him to be a championship difference maker was delusional. I'm not mad at Doc Rivers.
What?
He had a crap roster. I'm sorry. Like, look at the people who were out on the court for him last night. All this blaming Doc Rivers makes no sense. You have to understand, the problems for this team, we saw the culmination of five bad years, culminated last year against Atlanta.
Yeah,
when Ben Simmons skipped out.
What loss on your home floor in the playoffs did it culminate in?
But it double culminated last night. That's a thing. This was a culmination of so many moves that have gone wrong. They got desperate and they brought in Harden. But, you know, I've gone over this with you 100 times. The process ended in 2016. Everyone blames the process. But then they made mistake after mistake. They drafted Markelle Fultz number one while Jason Tatum went number three. If Jason Tatum was in the lineup for the 76ers last night, we are not having this discussion.
Okay, well, if LeBron had come to the 76ers in 2010, maybe you guys would have a different history.
Sixers did pass on LeBron. They passed on Jason Tatum.
We've got to live in the here and now, which is, yes, you cannot blame the process anymore. The process is over. But I can blame just run-of-the-mill, terrible decision-making. I can blame bad coaching. I can blame the fact that people in the NBA, especially Daryl Morey, is supposed to know whether or not James Harden is totally washed.
No.
Because unless this was a massive conspiracy, which is out there, by the way, that somehow Harden and Morey together are trying to run Doc Rivers out of town, like, there's no reason why Morey should not have known that James Harden was going to be this much of a zero. And so there's some updated news here. The news today just happened 5 minutes ago. Is that Daryl Morey said that Doc Rivers is going to return for next season. Now, that was met with, to me, with just like a collective, ugh. Because you want to know why? It didn't really seem like anyone wanted to play too hard for Doc Rivers last night. And he's imploring, and these guys came up with nothing. Also, where was Doc? Was there any creativity? Was there anything?
Wait, who? Who were these guys who are play hard? Embiid played hard. Maxey played hard.
Harden did not play hard.
Of course Harden didn't play hard. It's James Harden. I have no idea why Daryl Morey, Mr. Analytics, has a blind spot for Harden. But anybody who thinks that's on Doc Rivers has not been watching the last 2 years of James Harden. He's the ultimate quitter. Not to mention, even when he was in shape and younger and had explosiveness, he was a quitter. To blame Doc Rivers for him not showing up last night, that's insane.
Okay, but is there not a part of you that looks at what happened with Doc and Eric Spoelstra and saw adjustments that were made? I understand that like the Heat had better role players here, but let's not pretend like these Heat guys were like former, all these all-stars that somehow came. No one had heard of Max Strus from DePaul. Yeah. Nobody knows about, you know, any of these guys really, and they played up on the road. They did what they had to do.
Forget, it's not Spoelstra and Doc Rivers. The difference is Jimmy Butler and James Harden. The 76ers let Jimmy Butler walk out of that building. I was actually looking back at the terms of the trade because I didn't remember it. They got Josh Richardson back, who might be the worst two guard to ever play in NBA history. Yeah. He's a two guard who couldn't shoot, and they paid that summer. They paid Tobias Harris. Yeah. So we saw Jimmy Butler yelling, "You paid Tobias over me." That is what they let out of the building. Jimmy Butler is a winner. James Harden is not. Tobias Harris is not. I'm sorry, I can't go to the coach. I have to go to the character of the players.
Okay, well, the players definitely deserve the blame, too. I mean, I'm not saying that they're totally absolved here. I just feel like Embiid, I appreciate what Embiid was putting out there. I mean, the guy did have a broken face. He's got torn ligaments in his thumb. He's out there last night. I mean, he was basically like writhing around on the floor. It was like, is that a basketball game or is this a wrestling match?
By the way, why is he on the floor all the time? I discuss this with my 76ers fans, friends all the time. Dude, stay on your feet.
Well, like, at one point, he literally tripped over his own feet. And I was like, oh, this is bad.
I mean, I would never blame Embiid for coming out. He played hurt, but there is a real issue here. Like, he is not going to be healthy for a postseason run. It has not happened yet. And I don't know if it's ever going
to
happen.
Well, I thought it was nice to see somebody fighting for rebounds underneath the basket. And that's one point where he got sort of undercut and fell on his back. But it was nice to see someone fighting for rebounds. Mm. It was nice to see, you know, somebody trying to put their nose in there, even a broken nose, and try to be physical. But even Embiid said, you know, one of the problems with this roster, and I understand we're like not giving enough compliments to the Heat here, but when a team no-shows like the 76ers did last night, you got to look at that first. Like, that's the story today. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the Heat and all the good things about them. But even Embiid said in his post-game press conference, well, he said a lot of things. But one thing he said was, we don't have a dog. Like, we don't have that guy.
Jimmy Butler. you saw it last night?
Or PJ openly Tucker is what he said, actually.
Right, but you saw him flirting, him and Butler flirting back and forth after the game. That was like uncomfortable. That was a little uncomfortable. Like, get a room, guys.
I didn't realize they were as close as, like, this felt like shades of Durant and Kyrie. I'm like, geez, where are you guys planning to team up next?
I know, and I hope it's in Philadelphia. Honestly, I look back at that deal. By the way, my dad, Tom Perloff, in suburban Philadelphia, never curses. He said he was so upset last night. He cursed out Jimmy Butler. He said, I know Jimmy Butler's great, but he's still, and he had a string of curse words. So some people in Philadelphia still hate Jimmy Butler.
Wow.
I do not.
A 76ers fan cursing when the team loses.
No.
That is shocking.
By the way, my dad, who looks exactly like me, he would laugh. If we get him in the studio to rant about the Sixers, he was basically like, Jimmy Butler, he's the player we need to win, but a lot of people in Philly are still mad, but they think that Butler sort of forced his way out of there. Why is everyone forcing their way out everywhere? Can't somebody just stay in town and win something?
Wait, but that's not what Jimmy said last night. He didn't say anything about forcing his way out. He said, in fact, I wish I still played here.
That's revisionist history. We could get into that. Jimmy Butler, yes, he was not exactly a good citizen in Philadelphia at the end.
Okay, like, well,
he had a lot of issues.
Well, he had issues specifically. What we know is that he had issues with Brett Brown.
And
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons,
okay,
yeah.
So let's take the coach for a second. You're telling me a superstar, who Jimmy Butler was and is, it's not LeBron James, but he's obviously a household name and he's a perennial all-star. You're telling me that they're going to pick a coach over Jimmy Butler. that's never a good option. That's never a good sign.
No.
When you're, the NBA is a player's league.
Oh, I listen.
Picking Brett Brown, no offense, but like Brett Brown was basically like the guy who got to babysit the process. To pick him over Jimmy Butler is insane. And all the things that happened in those 2 years, this was like Elton Brand as the general manager.
And Brian Colangelo.
And Brian Colangelo, who teamed up for just insanity. And then it's continued because Daryl Morey traded for James Harden.
Yeah, the thing I don't understand about Daryl Morey is he's supposed to be like a system guy. Like he's supposed to have a plan here. I do think it's a little early to fully judge Morey, by the way. Morey's been there since November 2020. Normally, we wouldn't judge a GM for the team that's on the floor right now.
2020? I mean, now I mean, it's 20.
You're supposed to build a team in a year?
Yeah, but no. That's not right. He wasn't supposed to build the team. He was supposed to finish the job. See, that was the whole thing once the process ended. And then it was, you know, could Colangelo, you know, get them a little bit closer? Then obviously he had a very embarrassing social media scandal.
Bad draft history.
And so then Elton Brand set you sort of back or sideways. You know, this was supposed to be, you've got Embiid, and now you just have to put the right guys around him, but you have like the MVP candidate, and this was supposed to be finishing a job, not building a team.
But Daryl Morey, though, he's a Billy Beane type. He should be a build a team guy. He's a pioneer in analytics in basketball. He has to start over and have a 5-year plan. I think this idea that Daryl Morey came in to be the finishing, I don't know like why he would be that guy because
you already have Embiid.
Right, you have Embiid, but like, why would you expect a guy who looks at basketball differently to be able to put on the finishing touch with high-priced free agents? I think like that's a guy who looks at basketball traditionally. I think you need like 5 years for that guy to build a team, a few drafts and things like that.
Okay, but think about it. Even you just said, Daryl Morey has this reputation of being that Billy Beane type because he was in that book, the Michael Lewis book, the second book that he, or whatever, probably the 10th book that Michael Lewis wrote, because Morey was in that book and said some really impressive sounding things. But what does Morey actually do in reality? He's a star chaser, and that's what he does.
I don't think that's all he did. I mean, he went to Houston and he transformed the way, you know, he took what the Warriors did with the three-point shot and took it to a whole new level.
But think about who he tried to do it with.
With James Harden.
And then Harden and Dwight Howard. It was Harden and Chris Paul. Yeah. It was Howard and Russell Westbrook. It was Howard. And until finally, he was like, well, this isn't working. And they end up firing Morey. And they end up trading James Harden because he basically tanked his way out of town.
I know, but he, you
and
know.
And then chased Harden again.
You and I talk about it all the time. If you're at Sloan Analytics Conference, who's the first person you're going to see there?
Well, maybe they should start booking someone else because I'm losing my faith as Daryl Morey is king of the nerds.
You know,
and if you give Harden this big extension, then you definitely have your nerd card revoked because even people who are non-nerds like me can see that that's silly.
I will always be loyal to Daryl Morey because he was at Stats Inc. He started out as a researcher and like a media member. He's a total numbers nerd.
He's killing your franchise, dude.
Yes and no.
Okay.
And yes, he's killing the 76ers, but is it my franchise?
Oh, jeez.
Because I'm sorry,
guy.
This is
he's
your
under the Bucks.
No. I am officially transitioning. This is the May transition to the Milwaukee Bucks bandwagon.
Look at this. How do we even allow this
I'm
to
sorry.
Happen?
I'm sorry. This James Harden contract, that's your problem, Maggie. I am not dealing with this James Harden contract and the Philadelphia 76ers. I am not going to spend the summer wondering how you can pay this guy $400
million. Wait a minute. You can't just jump off
I
the
just
76ers.
Did. No, I just did, Maggie.
Go to the Bucks?
Yeah, I can.
You
and I did.
Stop the music. He doesn't deserve the music. You only play this music after 76ers wins, first of all.
Well, that's fine because it's going to be several months till that comes again.
You got a whole offseason to contemplate.
Can you
that.
Understand why I feel this way? Like, how do you feel excited about this team if you're a 76ers fan right now?
No, you feel a little hopeless. And here's the one part about why this is such a universally interesting story. You don't even have to be a 76ers fan. Everyone's got an agenda. That's what's fascinating to me about the 76ers. Everyone's got an agenda. It's like playing a game of Clue. You know, you're just finding out like who whacked who over the head with a candlestick in the conservatory. Because we know that Harden and Morey have teamed up for shenanigans. It's how Harden ended up in Philly in the first place. Believe me, the Brooklyn Nets, given what they had to give Houston to get James Harden, they didn't want to trade him at all. Morey and Harden, we know, have teamed up. So you got agendas there. Doc Rivers is going to be back this upcoming season, but no one can say that Doc Rivers might not have an agenda. Hell, the last couple weeks has been a Doc Rivers revisionist history party, where Doc keeps telling us how he's misunderstood, mischaracterized, how the teams that blew 3-1 leads, that's unfair to put on him, and even said last night, if you think I'm doing a bad job, that's on you. I'm doing a great job. You want to hear it? Sure. Let's hear Doc Rivers from last night as he was questioned about his job security.
How much have you thought about job security?
I don't worry about my job, Howard. I think I do a terrific job, and if you don't, then you should write it. Because I worked my butt off to get this team here. When I first got here, no one picked us to be anywhere. And again this year, the same thing. So if that's how anyone feels, write it, and I'm going to feel secure about it.
It's a results-based business. And that's
it is, but you don't do it every year. Every time you're wrong, should you lose your job? No. So it's the same thing, all right? But listen, if you believe that, then go with it. I know what I did, and I feel very good about that. But again, if you believe that, Howard, then you just run with it.
So that was Doc Rivers having a tete-a-tete with Howard Eskin, who's like a local media legend in Philadelphia. His son, Spike Eskin, is our boss. He's also the host of the Rights of Ricky Sanchez podcast. He will join us later on in the show so we can officially figure out who is to blame for where the Sixers are at this point.
Yeah.
He's like a Sixers historian.
It's funny, too, because CBS Sports Network is showing Doc, and there's a Rights to Ricky Sanchez T-shirt right over his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm sure
it looks like he's an assistant coach. yeah. I mean, again, not my problem. If you want to talk about my coach, it's Mike Budenholzer. We all know that.
Look at that.
And John Horst, GM. And, like, I like...
John Horst, GM. Look at you.
I like...
You're saying this with an Iverson hoodie on. I feel like you should have to take
that
off.
I'm historically a Sixers fan, but moving forward, I am announcing my allegiance to the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm more of a guy.
Look at this guy. I mean, just totally abandoning his own team at the time when they need him the most.
They don't need me. I don't know what they need. But if you ask me or I ask you how to fix the 76ers, there is no right answer. You're stuck with Harden at least next year, so that's going to be a problem.
You had an interesting idea on Twitter.
This is the worst idea.
Well, sometimes, you know, the worst ideas can just be a seeding ground for the best ideas.
Harden signs for $47 million next year. It's a player option. Russell Westbrook has his $47 million player option. You trade the two.
Yeah.
Which one do you like? If you're the Sixers, is that something you'd even look at?
Well, I would say this. Like, yes, it's a terrible idea, but at least Westbrook cares.
That's very, very true.
You know? I'm not thinking that Westbrook's on his way to Cabo starting around game four of a Eastern Conference semis. Man, Harden had that big game in game four, and then it was just like, game five, game six, no thanks.
I don't know if Harden doesn't care as much as he's just kind of out of shape. I don't even know what it is. Something's not right.
I don't know, but I know there's a lot to unpack. And we also know that Doc Rivers will be back next year. That's what Daryl Morey said. That, to me, smells a little like we still owe this guy $30 million. And sometimes ownership gets involved when they say, you know what? We still owe him $30 million. I think we're going to try to get a little bit more out of this before we just fire him, let him take the $30 million, and let him go play golf in L.A. for a while. Maybe he should come back and coach the team.
Yeah, might as well. I mean, with Harden there, I think, like, you're limited. Are you going to bring in Mike D'Antoni, and is that going to work with Joel Embiid? There are a lot of questions.
A lot of questions. We're going to attempt to answer most of them.
I'm not, because I'm a Bucks fan, but Maggie will attempt, because
Can
Sixers are no longer my problem.
Can you imagine?
I'm more of a guy.
What if I, after the Bills lose in heartbreaking fashion, crushing defeat at Arrowhead, what if I just said, all right, I'm a Bengals fan now?
You should have. That would have been the smart move.
The Rams really would have been the smarter move, turns out. But, you know, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. This is egregious from Perloff, right? It was egregious from the 76ers last night. It's egregious what Perloff is attempting to do now. 855-212-4227.
And yet predictable.
Yeah, both things. Okay, coming up. A lot happened yesterday, but who has it the worst? We'll tell you. Next, it's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. Don't move.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.